Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Solskjaer has won the European Cup for Manchester United. It's absolutely astonishing.
The double is definitely Manchester United's.
Too far for Ronaldo to think about it. Oh!
Absolutely sensational!
It's red in Russia. This English night in Europe is Manchester United's night.
Manchester United recover from a terrible week to thrash Norwich City for 4 at Old Trafford. The Reds had been humiliated by a far superior City side, drawn in the cup at Wolves to force an unwanted replay, and all of that having already lost to Arsenal on New Year's Day. 4 goals at Norwich put a plaster over the wounds, but don't quite stitch them up. We discuss the latest ongoings at the club in Series 5, Episode 22 of the Manchester United Weekly Podcast, with just me, Harry Robinson, this week. And as always, there's our extensive youth loan and women's roundups in the middle of the show. There's also the small matter of a trip to Anfield to preview.
Marcus Rashford, right at the end! Oh, yes!
Now, it's just me this week with Jack away in South Africa. He was set to record alongside me this week from Cape Town, but there's a power cut in Cape Town, which apparently they occasionally do when they don't have quite enough electricity to satisfy demand. So he can't join the Skype call this week and give his opinions on what has been a tumultuous week for Manchester United. There's rumours of signings of Bruno Fernandes from Sporting Lisbon in Portugal. There's rumours of other signings for Manchester United as well. But there's also been a gutting 3-1 defeat in the League Cup semi-final, the first leg of that semi-final to Manchester City. There was a loss to Arsenal on New Year's Day. We haven't recorded since then. And there was also, as I said in the intro, an unwanted draw against Wolves that forces a replay on Wednesday night in the FA Cup third round. But things were slightly improved by a 4-0 win against Norwich. Now, but before I go through any specific player or anything else, this is a kind of win that United have struggled to find under previous managers. And so you can criticise Ole Gunnar Solskjaer for so many things. We have done. You can criticise the current team, the current players for a number of things. But I think it's with more frequency that we're starting to see these good wins against pretty poor sides, admittedly, under Solskjaer at United, more so than under Mourinho and Van Gaal and David Moyes. And that doesn't kind of, as I said, it doesn't fix the issues that we saw against City. It doesn't fix the fact that on other times away from home, particularly, United have come unstuck against teams like Sheffield United, Wolves in recent times, but also other teams lower down in the table. And that goes back to last season when we had terrible results against Huddersfield and Cardiff right at the end of the season. So it doesn't fix those issues, but when United do manage to break down these teams, they are occasionally finding these 3-4 goal victories, which was far too rare, particularly under Louis van Gaal and also under Mourinho as well. The first point I want to start with is Juan Mata, who I think is part of the reason for that big win for United. I think United probably would have won this game anyway had Mata not started, but he was an important cog, an important asset for United going against a team in Norwich that is having a pretty poor time of it, sitting at the bottom of the Premier League. They are a poor side, and that fact shouldn't be forgotten, because this is a win that, if United now go out to Wolves in the FA Cup in that replay, this four-goal win will be very quickly forgotten. But Mata, I think his involvement in the starting lineup caused some raised eyebrows, some sighs for people going to the game and people watching on TV or streaming some area of the world. But this is the right game for Mata. Now, I still think giving him a 2-year contract to an aging Juan Mata, who is, let's be honest, not good enough to be starting for Manchester United regularly and not good enough to be given the wage that he is being given, I still think that was the wrong decision. But if United are going to play him in any kind of game, this is the right one. He can't keep up when United are counter-attacking with Rashford, Dan James, Anthony Martial, with the pace that is in that forward line. But he is good against lower table sides at home when there is space and time. And that was shown with two assists, but not just two assists, but in terms of keeping up the pace of the game, finding the passes that kind of took apart that Norwich defence, which is pretty weak, to be fair. Mata's involvement in the side would be fine if this was it, but he's been played too many times this season. I think it's already 18 or 19 times. I think he's played it as many times as he was doing last season, when we could already see that he wasn't good enough to be starting so regularly for United. So Solskjaer's got to choose him in the games where it's appropriate. What's good is that we saw Angel Gomez come on against City and against Norwich as well, and that is, we need to be seeing more of someone like Angel Gomez, not necessarily him, although I think it should be him, but whoever you want, we need to be seeing that in different kinds of games. When Mata isn't suitable for the opposition, whether that be an away game to Burnley or a big game against City or Arsenal or Spurs or whoever, he's got to be used in the right scenarios. Now, Anthony Martial and Marcus Rashford added to what are now very good records for the season. Martial now has as many goal involvements this year, so that's goals and assists, in 22 games as in 38 appearances last season. And obviously the departures of Romelu Lukaku and Alexis Sanchez have helped with that. But it's a good season for Martial so far. He's had some games where some people have claimed he's not looked bothered, and he clearly needs to do more. As a first choice centre forward for United, he does have to do more. He's got to be more consistent. He's got to be more consistently good. At the moment, he is quite consistent. He's basically scoring one every two games, and in some games he's playing better than others, but he doesn't often come with a performance where you think, where's that come from? It's pretty easy to predict how Martial's going to play, and as many people have said before, you can kind of tell from the first few minutes, as you can with many United players. Marcus Rashford, meanwhile, is really just coming into his own. 19 goals this season. It would have been 20 were it not for the dubious goals panel giving a slightly dubious decision themselves and giving Rashford's header against Aston Villa as an own goal to Tom Heaton. But I think the key thing with Rashford is that when he signed his new contract, which is quite a large contract, some people have claimed it's around £200,000 a week, United fans... well, quite a lot of United fans were concerned. Now, that contract was partly to fend off interest from Barcelona, who were genuinely interested in signing Marcus Rashford and sounded him out. And the Rashford family went out to Barcelona to see what it would be like living there. It never really got that close, and I don't think an offer was ever submitted or anything like that. But it was to partly fend off interest from Barcelona and commit Rashford's future to the club. And when that contract was signed, the United fans who weren't sure about Marcus Rashford, and even those who were saying, well, this is the kind of amount of money you should be paying a player who's going to get you 20 goals a season as a striker. And he's now going to get that. 19 goals already. He could end the season with 30, 35 goals in all competitions, beating the records of Romelu Lukaku and Zlatan Ibrahimovic in recent years. If he does that, then, I mean, that's a fantastic player, and people can't have doubts about that. There are still people watching Marcus Rashford saying he's not good enough for United, saying he needs to improve massively if he's going to play for United in the future. And I think people are just basing it off his performances as a number nine when either Martial was injured or when he's been played there under various managers. He isn't the right player to be playing as United's number nine, but what he is a fantastic left-sided forward who cuts inside and causes absolute havoc and has the skill, the talent, the ability in various areas of his game to really cause problems to Premier League defences, whoever they are. And we've seen that. He's scored big goals in big games against Chelsea, City, whoever, but also he's getting two or three, well, not three yet, but one or two in games against Norwich, Burnley, whoever it is. And he definitely is coming into his own. And Rashford, Martial and Greenwood, who I'll move on to in a second, I've now scored 39 goals between them, which is just one behind the total scored by Lukaku, Rashford and Martial during the whole of last season. So there's still 4 months of the season to go and they're basically outdoing last season's forward line already. So you can ask many people did ask when Lukaku and Sanchez were sold, where are the goals going to come from? Well, you've got your answer. Before I talk about Mason Greenwood and round off that front three, Brandon Williams, again, has shown why he deserves to be United's first choice fullback. Ashley Young looks like he's off to Inter Milan. He wasn't in the matchday squad against City or Norwich. Whether he makes that move this month, which I think would be a massively stupid idea for Manchester United, they shouldn't let him go until the summer. Yes, he shouldn't be starting for United and we shouldn't have to resort to Ashley Young, but that is the reality, and if you're not going to replace him, there's no need to sell a really experienced player, the club captain, who can play in various positions and offer United something still and offer something better than other players in the squad who won't be sold. Apart from that, Luke Shaw injured in the warm-up, but Williams was already starting, and while Shaw's injured, Young signing contracts with Inter Milan, Brandon Williams was absolutely bossing it again. It was Norwich. He didn't have to do too much defending, but when he did it well. And what was important is he plays a game at a sprint speed, not at the casual gallop of Luke Shaw. And he's fantastic at winning penalties, which is one of the big involvements in the game he had. He's done it for the youth teams constantly. He sprints into the area, slows down and draws that foul from the defender, or this time it was the keeper, Tim Krul. It's an old tactic used by many players, but one that has been consistently successful for Brandon Williams. He did miss an absolute sitter after, and he should have scored. There was a little bubble on the ball, but he smashes it over and looks absolutely gutted. And it should have been 4-0 at that point, and United eventually got their fourth. But terrible miss from Brandon Williams. But what was great is you never see Luke Shaw in that position. And if you did, then there's no way that Shaw will be getting back quick enough to help United defend after the following or subsequent goal kick, whereas Williams was storming up the left side, eventually got to that far post, on that far left post, and did stick it over, but he showed the commitment and the ability to get there and then sprinted back quickly to get back into his position and help United. He's so clearly United's best performing left back at the moment and should be there for the main games, and he should start against Liverpool. If that means he has to be rested in the Wolves FA Cup replay, and so be it, that's fair enough. It's a busy time, but he should be playing at Anfield next Sunday. Now onto Mason Greenwood, 18 years old, 3 goals in his last 5 games. He's only started one of those games, and that shows he's just unashamedly focused on finding the back of the net. Minutes after he came on against Norwich, he received the ball on the edge of the area, drove an effort towards the bottom right corner, and it made its way in. It's not the first one we've seen against Everton, Azad Alkmaar, a number of other sides. He's got 9 goals this season. It's the kind of record you'd be expecting from a much older player. This is a Mason Greenwood who turned 18 only very recently. He's still playing for England's youth sides. He's just coming into his first full season as a United player. And there were some saying he should have gone out on loan at the start of the season, and it wouldn't have been the right decision. Now you're seeing the talent of this player. And there's many elements of selling Romelu Lukaku that you can disagree with, and I would disagree with not replacing him, to be honest. But one of the benefits is you get to see Greenwood coming on and playing in games like this. And that's a massive positive, because Greenwood is developing at a rate you would never have were he out on loan to a Championship side or even a Premier League side. 9 goals in a season. He's en route to a 20-goal season record at the age of 18 when he's not the first-choice striker for United, when he's coming off the bench starting in various games. That's amazing. Another point of the Norwich game was the anti-Glazer, anti-Ed Woodward chance resurfacing again for the first time in years at that volume and that consistency. They have occasionally appeared. They appeared in a game against Cardiff at the end of last season. But at that volume, that consistency and that coverage, the first time in a while. And it was a message and a song that goes back more than a decade. And with the side winning 3-0 up at that point, it came from the Red Army section of the Stretford end. And it was a clear message, and not one that was pre-planned or coordinated. It was spontaneous. And it got the coverage against the Glazers, Edward, whoever it may be, it got the coverage in the media that the fans probably wanted it to get. And in terms of what the songs were, there are some people who are saying it's disgusting, and this often comes from people who aren't part of that fan culture. And it comes from journalists who have spent far too much time in press boxes and far too little time going to games as a fan of whatever club they support. And these songs that are saying that Ed Woodward's going to die, they're not literal. United fans sing that about City as well. They sing it about Malcolm Glazer many years ago, and they sing it about Liverpool. They're not, when they sing about hanging Kenny Dalglish from the highest tree in town and burning down the tavern, it's not literal. And yes, you can get offended by those things, that's fine, but to be honest, you've got to accept that they are not literal. And if you don't, you take away a serious part of football fan culture, and you leave yourself getting angry at a thing that's not really, there's no point about getting angry about it. It's sending a message, and these were not, this was not a planned protest. This was something that spontaneously, organically came out of a group of fans who were going to a game together, who had cheered on their team for 75 minutes, seen them go 3-0 up, and then thought it was an appropriate time to vent their frustrations against a board and a man who has caused United to be in the situation they currently are, which is far from good enough. Moving on from those, last thing on the Norwich game, Nemanja Matic started, another one that would raise eyebrows and has done since he came into the team recently against Burnley in late December. He's played in 5 consecutive games now. He came on at half time against City. He cannot be used against Wolves and Liverpool, is my main point. He's good at the moment, and this is something I'll admit I got wrong. I thought Matic was finished, it was all over, and he had to be sold in January. It looked like he would have been sold in January. But when he plays one game a week and he's rested enough, he's playing at a much quicker pace than we're used to seeing him play over the last 12-18 months. He's covering the defence well. He was key against Norwich, and yes, it was an easy game, but also when he came on against City, he shored things up, and United did play a little bit better in the second half, even though it was a terrible game. He's semi-important again because of the injuries to Pogba and McTominay, and there is little chance he stays beyond summer, and that's rightly so. He shouldn't be at United next year, but for now he's useful. But he does need to be used, and that's partly down to injuries to United's best young midfielders in James Garner and Dylan Levitt, though they've just recently returned to the under-23s. But he cannot be overplayed, because as soon as you overplay him, he's going to return to the hapless midfielder in the centre areas of the park that we've seen before for United. Now, we haven't spoken since Arsenal or City, or Wolves as well. The Arsenal and City games, two of the worst performances of the Solskjaer era. The Wolves game, just a little bit boring. Arsenal was meek, and we were outplayed, outfought. Whatever you want to say, whatever vocabulary you want to use, it was a really poor game. It was an interesting away day to be at. It was New Year's Day at 8 p.m. was a slightly weird concept, and the away end was pretty full of tourists coming to what may have been their first United game. That always happens with the London games, but I think the scheduling of it made that even more the case. The same was true for a lot of the Arsenal home end. I think it was a strange atmosphere from the start, but also United were absolutely terrible, and from pretty much the start it was apart from one early Rashford shot against Bernd Leno, which looked United were starting the game well. Apart from that, 2 minutes in, it was pretty blatant from then on that United were being outplayed and deservedly went into half-time losing. City was terrible. Meek again, actually, looked clueless, and we were trying to get to half-time without conceding half a dozen goals, and that's embarrassing. But I think what's even more humiliating is that the scoreline could have been worse, but that makes it all the more humiliating in how we look at the game. And I think the City game, as I say, the Norwich game has kind of put a little bit of a plaster over these issues. It's not stitched them up, I think is what I said in the intro. But the City game evoked a lot of feelings for United fans and for people covering United about what's going on at the club. And I think it's worth remembering again that United's problems don't begin or end with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And United's solution to their current failures does not begin or end with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. This is the point I've certainly made constantly on this podcast, is that Solskjaer might not be the fix, the solution, but he's certainly not the problem. And he definitely is helping United to improve the way they're run as a club and to improve what they're doing. And certainly improve the connection between fans and players, which has been really, really poor for the last 5 years, half a decade. Saying that, it's also worth remembering, and the game against City and Arsenal and Wolves even, is an example of this, is that United's problems don't begin and end with Solskjaer. City's brilliance, nor Liverpool's brilliance, begins or ends with Klopp or Guardiola. But if you swapped these managers around, there would not be the gap that there is between United and Liverpool. There wouldn't be 27 points, or however many it is now, between Solskjaer's team and Klopp's team. And a better manager and better players would improve the situation. And the fact that the top level people at Manchester United, it doesn't really appear to be a priority, tells you all you need to know. Football has been an afterthought at the club for far too long, and that comes from the very top. Not even just from Ed Woodward, because it's been a long time before he came. It comes from the owners of the clubs, the Glazers. And Woodward has an inability to run a football club in the way it should be run, to run Manchester United how it should be run. But even when you're criticising Ed Woodward, it's worth remembering that this comes from the very top of the club and the way it's owned by the Glazer family, and how they view Manchester United as a cash cow, not as a football club to make successful again. And when you were watching that City game, you thought that the thing about this is everyone knows that that loss was because of a lack of quality in United's side, and yet we're in the middle of a transfer window and seemingly doing not that much to change it. Saying that, we'll talk about Bruno Fernandes in a second too. Is being heavily linked with Manchester United once again. Not that I'm that confident of signing him. But before that, we'll go to our youth and women's roundup, as always, in the middle of the show. United under-23s returned from their winter break on January the 6th with a 2-0 loss to West Ham. They did recover with a 2-1 win against Newcastle United. An own goal gave them the lead, and Jimmy Garner got the second soon after. Hannibal Medjbri, the 16-year-old, signed from Monaco for $10 million in the summer. He played very well and continues to impress at a young age. He looks like he's been a clever signing despite being so expensive. Dylan Levitt also made his return, as well as Garner, in that game from injury. They've both been injured over the Christmas break. The under-18s still haven't played since their winter break, but return by hosting Liverpool the day before the first team go to Anfield. 3 days later, the under-19s go to Norwich in the fourth round of the FA Cup. For more on the latest FA Youth Cup side, I got a piece in the latest United We Stand fanzine on Mark Helm, Charlie McCann, Hannibal Medjbri and a few others about and involved in that FA Youth Cup side. Casey Stoney's Women's United side lost to Bristol City in the Women's Super League on January the 5th and now go to face Brighton in the FA Cup on Wednesday, the same night as United's cup tie against Wolves in the men's competition. It was meant to be United's Women's against Liverpool last weekend, but it was called off due to a waterlogged pitch. Now, I said we'd mention Bruno Fernandes. A move does look possible for the Portuguese midfielder, just like in the summer. One Portuguese TV channel, which broke Edison to City, I think, claims that Bruno Fernandes to United could be completed on the day that we record this. I'm recording it on a Monday morning. Another suggests it just depends on confirming who United will send over to Sporting, who will get money for Bruno Fernandes and one or two players, either on loan or permanently. You'd expect one to be Marcus Rojo, but his wages could cause an issue. If it happens, then United have finally been willing to offer the right money. Why they didn't do it in the summer, if they wanted him, is baffling. And it seems, If United get this over the line, then obviously United wanted Bruno Fernandes. So why they waited until January to do it is really baffling. If the deal also goes through, another big positive is it will mean the wages of Rojo and or someone else off the books, and that's good. Though I was reminded this week, while seeing Alexis Sanchez not start for Inter Milan, that we're still paying hundreds of thousands of pounds each week, which is shocking. And the thing with the Bruno Fernandes saga, as it is, it's been going on for months now, it wouldn't solve everything. I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't happen at all, but if it does, it won't solve everything, and that much needs to be remembered, because he will undoubtedly offer United some more creativity, something that we've been lacking. But we all know how many issues there are at United, and that can't be overlooked. This one signing won't change the whole side completely, and that shouldn't be, that kind of pressure shouldn't be put on Bruno Fernandes. It shouldn't be put on Ole Gunnar Solskjaer as well. You shouldn't suddenly say, well, he's got one creative midfielder, everything should start improving quickly. That's not the case. United need a number of signings and a number of changes in terms of the structure of the club to genuinely improve this team and the club going forward. Now, previewing the next week, United got Wolves on Wednesday in the FA Cup replay. As I've mentioned, the third round of that, we're going to play Watford or Tranmere away in the fourth round if we beat Wolves. United have got to win this game. A cup run is necessary in a season which is difficult for United. Obviously, still in the Europa League, still just about in the League Cup. But an FA Cup run is always important and always helps, as we saw last season when United beat Chelsea and Arsenal away before going out to Wolves again at Molineux under Solskjaer. And that was a really gutting moment. And the wins against Arsenal and Chelsea were brilliant moments. It's Wolves on Wednesday, then Liverpool on Sunday. That should be enough time to rest and to play two strong sides. But given the injury situation, it's difficult. Harry Maguire is now fit and claims he's ready to play every game. As I said earlier, Brandon Williams should absolutely start against Liverpool. He's United's best performing left back. There's no doubt about that. If that means Shaw starting against Wolves, then fine. Or Ashley Young or whoever it is. But United could also look to the rest of the youth system and perhaps play Diogo Dalot in one of the fullback positions and give Ethan Laird a chance at right back or at keep Aaron Wan-Bissaka there as well. Liverpool at Anfield is such a difficult game. You just know that whatever the result, obviously apart from a win, but if it's a draw or a loss, there will be people calling for Solskjaer to be thrown into the River Irwell or something ridiculous like that. And it's a sign of the times that we go into a game like this expecting nothing. And more than that, saying that if there's a part of me that feels if we do lose, it's not that bad. And that is, I mean, that's the harsh reality of Manchester United at the moment. And you can blame whoever you like for that. You choose for whatever, whichever you put down as a culprit for that or however many people. But what we need to see is how Solskjaer can cope against Jurgen Klopp and this brilliant Liverpool side at Anfield. He's never taken United to Anfield before. It's a game that got Mourinho sacked in December 2018. And we need to see a good tactical setup, the right lineup, and a good performance. And at the end of the game, we can judge all of that, whatever the result. On the other hand, a win would be so, so sweet to stop Liverpool's unbeaten run, potentially stop them being the second invincibles, and at least wipe a small element of the smiles off their faces in what is a painfully brilliant season for them. And it's got me looking at where I can fly to as far away as possible in May in case they win more than just the Premier League, which it looks like blatantly, obviously, that they will. That is all we have time for on this episode of the Manchester United Week Podcast. Sorry that it was just me, but you can blame the electricity handers in Cape Town where Jack is at the moment. He'll be back for our next episode, which will either be after Wolves this Wednesday or after the Liverpool game at Anfield on Sunday. If you go into either of those games, enjoy. I know the game against Wolves at Old Trafford will be a quite an empty Old Trafford, such as the scheduling of it, the late scheduling of it. If you go into that, enjoy it. And it'll be interesting because there's no Red Army section in the Stretford End for this one. So you will notice, I'm sure, if you're going or if you're watching on the TV, that the atmosphere is significantly worse. And if you go into Anfield, then enjoy it. Stay safe, even though it's pretty tame these days, and enjoy the game. Thanks for listening. As always, for more from me on Twitter, you can find me on at HarryRobinson64, the podcast at UTD Weekly Pod. That's POD at the end there. And if you want to know Jack's thoughts on this week, the next week, and whatever's going on at United, he's at UTD Tate. That's TAIT. Thanks as always for listening. If you're enjoying the show, please leave a review on iTunes or share it on Twitter, whatever. Have a great week. Goodbye.
Network.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky?
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.